This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9.
I woke up in the morning about 9:30. The hacks and the buggy standing in line. Jets and gamblers standing around, taking little city to burying the ground. I began to think of what indeed I'd done. I grabbed my hat and away I'd run. Made a good run just a little too slow. They overtook me in Jericho.
I have an idea.
Hadouken!
We did it!
Our game's been saved, but it's dangerous to go alone.
Welcome to Checkpoint, your favourite video game show.
Yes, you're here on Checkpoint here in Melbourne, broadcasting to you live around the world. Big thanks to the guys from the Escape Hour. It is time for your double hour dose of video game goodness. My name is Luke and I'm joined by a very pumped up crew after a big week. Elliot's here.
I'm here. So pumped.
So super pumped. Cam as well.
I'm always pumped.
I know you are. And Colby's here too.
Hello everyone.
Hello. And of course Edith as well.
Hello.
Yes.
Actually a bit tired after all that E3.
Oh, too much.
Oh, is it too much or is it...
What?
Just yeah, a little enough.
Bit. Just enough.
Because I had a cold at the same time, so I was like dead by the end of E3.
It's that kind of satisfied, kind of tired, like, yeah, I've had a good time, now it's time to rest.
It's like eating too much
What's
food.
What's rest?
Yeah,
there I don't was know, actually, I've heard of it at least.
There was a clear moment at the end of Nintendo's conference when Elliot was still up trying to do things and I was just like, it was like, you know, 4 a.m, still sick, and I just said, Elliot... Go to bed. You're done. You need to be done.
And then I just like skulk off. Okay.
You were like, all right. Logged off. It was a massive week. It was E3. For those playing at home, E3 is the biggest gaming press conference every single year. It happens in LA and it's basically when every publisher, like Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, Ubisoft, all the big ones, they all basically talk about what they're going to be doing over the next 12 to 18 months.
It's where they play their hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what we're working on. This is everything. Get hyped. It's pretty much a giant hype train, just like 4 days of hype, 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 hype. And of course, you know, we're very judgmental. So we're here to break down for you what we thought of all these conferences. And I mean, there were some definite wins and some great things that happened. And then there were some sort of confusing things that happened as well.
There were some choices.
Yeah. Interesting decisions that were made from certain publishers. So we're going to talk about those as well. So we've got a jam-packed show for you.
There's always the strange at E3. It's not E3 without strange and cringe.
No, absolutely. Spot on. Much like our show, really. So just very, very similar.
Yep, come on.
Now, of course, we do always start the show with a segment that we call...
Fiddling with joysticks and smashing the D-pad.
Tell us, have you been playing with yourself?
Yes, what have you been playing over the last week or two? Now, I mean, it's been a busy week for us watching E3. However, I'm sure we have found some time to play some video games.
We've all been playing Sleep Deprivation Simulator.
Yes, it's so realistic.
You've been beating my high score every time, Cam.
I know. It's 60 frames per second, 1080p, 4K.
Need to smash that D-pad a bit faster, obviously. Elliot, we'll kick it off with you. What have you been playing over the last week?
I really needed something like relaxing to kind of get me through E3 and the period after. So I've been hitting up Stardew Valley.
Oh, okay, right.
Nice.
Yeah, so Edie kind of got me into that game.
I'm so glad.
That was the first time I ever really gave it a proper try, playing it co-op with Edie. And now I'm kind of just going at it myself, learning things the hard way, realizing just how much there is to that game. There's a lot to Stardew Valley.
So much.
So it's like a farm simulator, life simulator, romance. It's like all these little cute things.
It's a farming life simulator.
There's also
I guess.
A dungeon you can find monsters in as well. So it's really got all the big ones.
Mm. It's fun. It's not a game for everybody. I can see Cameron making judgmental faces.
No. I was judging more about you talking about how you're going at it on your own.
Oh, yeah, going at it solo. I'm playing with myself.
Well,
playing
that's the yourself. Original way to play Stardew Valley. Yeah. Who's your favorite villager? Tell me now.
Oh, no, you're going to judge me so hard.
I am, but tell me anyway.
See, I'm trying to kick off a romance with Alex.
No, that's a good choice.
Okay, good.
Alex is fine.
They're speaking in tongues.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on.
Alex is the jockey type.
Yeah.
To give you a bit of context.
Well, tell you what, Elliot, I've been playing a game that you actually reviewed on the show last week.
Oh, yeah?
Vampire.
Good game.
It is a good game. I'm really impressed. I didn't expect it to capture me as much as it has.
Yeah, that's kind of my experience with it too.
Yeah,
it was like, oh wow.
A lot of dialogue trees, a lot of talking.
Yes.
A lot of talking. If you don't like talking in games, you're going to hate this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's all about dialogue, lore, narrative.
Like, yeah.
It's don't nod. The people who made Life is Strange. There's going to be talking.
Exactly. But I mean, what interested me the most is you talked quite heavily about, you know, the morality of it, and like that you were torn during certain points and that you had a playthrough where you didn't actually kill, or it's called embracing in the game when you actually like suck their blood because you're a vampire. You need to. Well, you don't need to, but you can.
Yes.
And you made this point of, like, that you were really close to doing it at some points, but ultimately you stayed strong and, like, you didn't take anyone's life and you were really good about it.
Yeah, I wanted to play the game as how I thought the character you were playing as would play the game. Like, kind of role-playing as who he was as a person.
Right. And what did you do, Luke?
So I got hungry.
Tell us.
I got hungry.
Oh, boy.
I mean, look, here's the thing. You get more experience and therefore you get stronger from embracing people in the town. And the more you get to know them, the more effective their blood is. The blood quality improves. So you have to get to know them as much as you possibly can before you eat them. And yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, you know, he's a doctor and he's trying to, like, fix the plague. But at the same time, he's a vampire. Like, dude's a vampire. Dude's got to eat. And so I was definitely like, you know what? If you're a bad person, I'm gonna eat you. It's gonna happen because I want the bonus from you, and you probably shouldn't be here anyway. Like, there was some dude taking up. What? What?
I don't know. I'm just judging you.
There's this dude in the hospital who basically said, I know I don't need to be here, but like, I'm just going to stay here forever because this other patient needs me here. I'm just going to stay here because of them. So I'm using your resources. Like, I don't really care. And I was like, you know what, mate? I'm going to eat you because you're using up resources in the hospital.
The greatest sin of all, using up hospital resources.
When there's a plague happening, when there's the Spanish flu happening and people are dying, yeah, you take up space. People are in beds in the street and you're sitting in the hospital taking up. So I ate him, and that
and Elliot
started.
Just watched it happen.
He just let it happen. So I feel like I've done the right thing.
Who's the real villain here, Elliot?
Oh no! Don't you turn this on me,
you pacifist. But look, really great game. Definitely, it's hard to find too. I actually had to go to three different stores to find a copy because
really?
They're actually.
Oh, that's good.
I think it's because it's one of those games where they didn't expect it to be a huge hit straight away, so they didn't probably order a whole bunch of copies of it at the start, but it's been selling out, so it's actually a bit tricky to find. They're getting more stock in soon, so it should be there, you know, over the next week or so. But,
that harkens back a lot to, like, those old PS2 days. They used to do that a lot.
I haven't had that in the modern generation where
no,
I actually
neither.
Had to go to more than one shop to find a game on the shelf.
That's
like,
crazy.
It's weird.
Yeah, it happens a lot with that kind of, like, double-A kind of game where it's not, like, a massively marketed game. I know it happened with Kingdom Come Deliverance as well.
Oh, wow.
It happened frequently with a bunch of Switch titles initially.
Yeah.
Obviously, but they were new, so I guess it doesn't count.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out, I guess, whether it actually is worth, you know, having more copies, because if they buy more to put on the shelf and they don't sell, they just sit there forever, right? So yeah. I guess I do understand the logic. But yeah, I was genuinely surprised. I had to go to a couple of stores just to find a copy.
Hmm.
So, yeah, but Vampire, it's really cool. I really like it. So, yeah, check it out. Cam, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Jurassic World Evolution.
Dinos.
Yeah, it just came out digital. It's getting a physical release in July. It came out just in time for the new movie that's about to release, which I'm staying strong and I won't be seeing because I won't give in. I'm sick of seeing Chris Pratt's face everywhere.
Oh, so you're like a Chris Pratt anti thing.
I've gone off the bus. I prefer to admit he was much more charming in Parks and Rec. I'm going to put it out there. But I've been really enjoying it. So it's a simulator where you build your own parks, a la Jurassic Park. And you kind of go in and it's kind of... The park's already failed once and you've got to pick it back up and put it back on its feet. You raise dinosaurs, you release them, you can muck around with their genomes to give them cool colours and make them better fighters or live longer. And then you've got to also, you know, put them into their pens. You have to make sure all your guests can see them and they can get in and out. And it's, I'm still early days. I've only had probably, I'd say I'm probably like 4 or 5 hours in. I've got 3 islands and there are, as you get new islands, there's kind of, they ramp up the difficulty. So on the second island, they introduced that, you know, you can get tropical storms will hit. And so you've suddenly got to make sure you've got bunkers for all of your guests to run into or they get blown away.
Yeah.
But then it has this also really interesting thing. You have rangers and helicopter units that can deal with the dinosaurs and go out and kind of do tasks for you. So you can send them out, go, oh, I need you to refill this feeder. I need you to go fix this fence. But then if you want to, you can also drive them. So you can actually jump behind the wheel of the car and actually go driving through the pen with the dinosaur there. And then you can jump on the dart gun to, like, administer medicine or tranquilize them. And so there's a little bit of, like, a if you find that you're... The automated system is just taking forever to actually hit anyone with one of those darts. You can just take over and be like, give me the gun, I'll take care of it.
Oh, that's cool.
So there's a little bit more interactivity to it. It's still early days, I feel, and it's definitely not... If people are crazy about simulators and they love simulators and they love getting in depth with simulators, this is not the game for them.
Right.
This is simulator light.
Yep.
Which is nice for those kind of fans of Jurassic Park who are looking to kind of live that dream. It's quite interesting. You can get down close, and there's a really nice feeling whenever you release a new dinosaur. It comes out, music builds, it kind of looks around and is cute. Yeah, all that stuff. And then, it, like, if you have another one of those dinosaurs in that pen, it'll run over to greet them, and it's all very cute. And I'm all like,
like a puppy.
Do they have sex, or is it just...
No, it's all ladies.
That's disappointing.
That's the Jurassic Park world.
They still can have sex.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, but no.
Why are you assuming their
sexuality? That's a good point. I'm having trouble with one dinosaur at the moment because every pen I put it into, the other dinosaurs attack it. So I need to try and figure that out at the moment.
That represents you.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Can you not just put it in its own pen?
It's one dinosaur and no one wants to go see just this one dinosaur. That's a big thing. You have to kind of mix them because all the crowds go, we love seeing a big mix of dinosaurs in together.
Oh.
Except for the velociraptors. You can't put them in with anything else.
Well, no, because they'll kill you.
They're going crazy at the moment.
What about you, Colby? What have you been playing over the last couple of weeks?
I've had a pretty crazy couple of weeks, actually, so I haven't played a lot of games. I bought the Sega Mega Drive collection for the PS4, and It's not really great, which is a bit sad. Like,
and you saying that's like a really hard criticism.
Yeah, like you always know that's fair when it comes from Colby.
You know, because everyone knows that I'm an advocate for Sega, but you know, it's like they've got a cool idea where it's like the menu's set up like a bedroom. So like all your games on the shelf and stuff, but it just misses little things. Like if they're gonna do it like an archive, it's like you should be able to actually like get the games off the shelf, like read the original manual or something. And the other thing I've realized is that a lot of the older platform games, because the PS2 collection I didn't really like either, and I think it's because those sorts of games don't work very well with analog controllers, because the PS4 buttons, obviously they're sort of variable depending on how hard you push them. So to like make Sonic jump, you've got to sort of push the button right in, which means that, you know, it's not as fun and it doesn't control right. The other thing is that the PS4 version's missing Sonic 3, which is my favorite Sonic game, and it's missing Sonic and Knuckles, whereas the PC version gets those.
Why is that?
I don't know, and I have no idea. The PC version also got the Echo the Dolphin games, and it got Eternal Champions as well. So it's like, why put them on the PC? And it got Sonic CD. So it's like the PC version's more complete, and it probably actually plays better, whereas the PS4 version's just sadly average.
That's weird. That's a weird choice to do that. If they have the access to them already, why wouldn't they just put them on all platforms?
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't think that there'd be any licensing issues because it's Sega themselves. Rather than someone was like, oh, should we put Sonic 3 in there? Oh, yeah, nah. It's like, what's wrong? So I'm like, oh, do you think Echo the Dolphin should go in? Nah, let's put in bloody, what? I don't know, something else instead.
I was being
sarcastic. I was going to say, whoa. Echo the Dolphin was great. Echo the Dolphin scarred me as a kid.
Aw.
That great final boss was really creepy.
I don't remember.
And then he had to pull bits of its face off.
I don't think I made it to the... I didn't make it to the end. I just swung around the alien?
No. What are you talking... Is this the same
Echo
game?
Echo the Dolphin, at the end, there's this giant, like, xenomorph alien that comes out of the background and you have to, like, attack it and then pull bits of its face off.
Are you talking about Metroid?
No, I am not. I'm going to bring up the footage right now.
It sounds like we're talking about Metroid there, Cam. Now, talking about what you've been playing, what about you, Edith?
I've been playing Sushi Striker, Way of Sushido, for the Switch.
Yes.
I'm going to be reviewing it shortly for the website.
Yeah. And that one came out like a few days ago. So. Yeah.
A few days ago it did. I am enjoying my time with the actual game, not so much with the plot. Now, the thing about lighthearted puzzle games is that the plot, no one really cares about it.
Yeah.
No one seemed to have informed the team who worked on Sushi Striker, though, because they tried so hard. They've got these beautiful 2D animations. Like, the cutscenes are fully animated in an anime-ish style. And it's really nice. But the thing is, I don't care about the sushi struggles that went on for years, and then the main character's parents disappeared, and it's sad, and the evil empire is hoarding all the sushi, and no one from the Republic can have any sushi.
Why can't they have sushi?
Because...
This all sounds very anime.
What do you mean?
But... Here's my thing. If you're gonna be different from the other puzzle games and have your plot be actually interesting, please actually have it be interesting. And I don't mean the fact that it's sushi is silly. I can get past that. But you have to not rely on all these cliches, like the war and the parents are missing. And
I'm so sick of hearing about the sushi war.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Great sushi war.
Find a new angle. It's so annoying.
And it actually is really amusing, but more often than not, I just find myself completely skipping all this dialogue that you have to go through just to play an admittedly fun puzzle game where you have to link all these plates of sushi of the same colour, which is actually how sushi
three.
Trains...
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's literally a match three.
Match three or more and up.
Okay.
It's more than that.
As all
more
than that.
It's like the type of sushi on the plate also contributes to the score, and then there are other things you need to think about as well. So it's actually a pretty complex puzzle game. I just wish it wasn't bogged down by all this sushi struggles.
You've heard it here first, developers. We want less story. Less story and more match three games.
Like,
Get on it, EA.
Seriously. And don't forget those paywalls as well.
Stop it.
That's what we've been playing. Next, we're going to go through what's coming out. And then we're not going to do the news this week because we have so much E3 news. We're just going to do an entire show dedicated to E3 and all the stuff that came out of it. So it is news, but it's just like a lot of it. So we're going to take you through all of that here on Checkpoint on Joy 94.9.
New games are released each week, and sometimes it's hard to keep them straight.
Let's go!
Checkpoint has you covered. Let's sneak a peek at what's coming out.
Yes, and, you know, we're still recovering from E3, so not a lot of games are on the agenda for this coming week.
Not a huge amount. It was a bit of a dig to find some titles for this week's coming out.
But you did find some.
I did. So we're looking at the week starting June 18th. And nothing on the first day, but on June 19th, we've got Haymrick coming out, which is a side-scrolling puzzler where you play as a scribe who must survive in a medieval town by using the power of words to bring hazards to life. June 21, a big one that I'm surprised we didn't hear much coming for it, is Minecraft coming to Switch. It's the gaming phenomenon. They're finally coming to portable games, so you can get blocky on the go. Then you got Pwned coming out on the same day, also for the Switch, a co-op puzzler about a little rock helping a fallen star find its way home. As the pair travel through the world, their special powers awaken an ancient civilization. And then on June 22nd, a massive one coming, Mario Tennis Aces, which we're all really excited for. It's a beloved tennis series featuring a roster of lovable Mushroom Kingdom locals, bringing fast-paced action and, for the first time ever, a story mode.
Yeah, and also some fantastic hair on some amazing Waluigi's head.
Yeah, on the amazing Waluigi that everyone loves.
Yeah.
I've got some real opinions about that today.
Yeah, we're going to get to that later.
Can't wait more on Waluigi later.
Yeah, stay tuned, Waluigi fans. But yeah, I mean, it is a bit of a small week in terms of game releases. But yeah, Mario Tennis Aces definitely stands out as the big release. It's one of the biggest releases of the month, basically.
Yeah.
The last Mario Tennis game on the Wii U wasn't really that great. It was flawed.
It was kind of, they took the Wii U tennis that they had in the games and just kind of did a skin over the top and maybe fleshed it out a little bit
which
more.
Which was weird because Mario Tennis has been around since Mario Tennis 64. It's been around for a long time, yet the Wii U version felt like such a step back.
Yeah.
It was really lacking.
It also has a super dedicated fan base. And so it was weird that they just kind of, well, they walked it in.
Yeah, they did. And I mean, I think the thing is with Mario Tennis is it has the ability to actually be a really solid tennis game. Like all the Mario sports games, they're actually really good at that sport. Like Mario Golf is a really great golf game. Yeah, it's got those, you know, stars flying around and there's like superpowers and stuff and it's a bit silly looking, but the actual core gameplay is really, really solid and really easy to understand and identify with.
They always make a really stable base to build on top of, and this is no different. This one's got a few really weird things, like you've got Chain Chomp as a playable character.
I'm all for Chain Chomp. Chain Chomp is amazing. And watching him run around that tennis court holding a racket, it's like, this is silly.
And I think there's also the giant piranha plant from Galaxy is back, and you can play it as well.
Oh, the fancy one.
Yeah, the one that like runs around with the little legs and is wearing like little like Speedos.
Yep.
Petey Piranha?
It could be Petey Piranha, yeah, I think
it is. Actually in from Sunshine first.
Oh, ooh, well,
there you go. Just so you
know. Sunshine.
Cameron got schooled.
No one played. No, I'm kidding. Lots of people played it. I get that it's a fan favorite.
I think Kerry Washington played it. Cameron.
Yeah.
But, you know, still a big release nonetheless, and we are very excited about it. I think it's going to be a bit of a good success for Nintendo to release it at this time when there's not much else out there.
Yeah.
And no, another solid AAA title for the Switch as well. It was sort of due for one, so, yeah, very cool. Minecraft coming to Switch as well. I mean, yeah, sure, Minecraft can be everywhere. That's fine.
I was actually shocked when this came up when I was looking. It just kind of was like, oh yeah, Minecraft.
Yeah, they didn't make a big deal out of this at all, did they?
No.
It's a bit expected though, isn't it? Like,
is it a big deal? Like,
It's still got a massive player base.
It's still one of the biggest games in the world.
It's still one of the most like recognizable from like kind of the general public as well. Everyone knows what Minecraft is, whether you're a gamer or not. It's everywhere.
So I guess this is going to be for people that, you know, have a Switch that might not be like massive gaming nerds, and they'll be like, oh, Minecraft, I've heard of that on Current Affair, let's play that.
Well, I think it's also good for kids. Like, it's a very kid-friendly game. It's great for creativity. So if your kid's got a Switch, pop them down in front of that, give them that for a while.
Yeah. Oh, I've never actually played Minecraft, to be honest. It doesn't appeal to me. So.
I played a little.
I'm the same. I understand the appeal. It's just not my appeal.
Definitely had my time with Minecraft. And
I'm not shocked by that.
I'm glad I left it, to be honest, because Yeah, that game is a time sink.
I only played because Rowan played and we like played together and we built a town and then I just kind of stopped. I wasn't bothered anymore.
And I've just never played it. In my life, I've seen people play it, but I've never...
Well, guys, here's your opportunity.
Now let's all get it on Switch.
Yeah.
Because it's coming.
No, maybe one of us can. Crickets. You can bring it here and we can just like have a look at it.
can you still pay to get your own server?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Okay, well, that's good at least. I mean, I can't really see the point of Minecraft if you don't have your own server.
Yes.
The other one coming out for Switch, because there's three Switch titles this week. It's like maybe Nintendo didn't have their hands full with something. Was Pwned is coming.
So shady.
I know, it's so shady. More on that later.
Stop saying that. So Pwned, yeah. So this one's really cute. Now, this is a co-op puzzler. Now, it is particularly family-friendly. The trailer even says so. Family-friendly co-op puzzler, which actually puts me off
games. You're so angry about that.
Well, because Elliot was like, check out this game. And I was like, oh, this looks cool. It's kind of cute. And it's like family-friendly. And I was like, oh.
Lame. If I can't massacre the adorable little critters, then it's not worth my time.
I mean, you know, they had, what was that one they had where it was the little things, Snipper Clips? That was cute and family friendly, and that was a cool puzzle game. So, you know, that worked. That being said, this is like an indie title, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more of like it's like a co-op. You help each other get through the environments using your special powers to solve puzzles. It's like you work with a friend. And
described every game.
I know, right? But it's like, you know, one of you plays this little rock, one of you plays this little star that's fallen from the sky, and you got to help them get back. Aww. It's all very cute. It's a very cute game.
Fell from the sky.
I know Rachel is excited.
Poor little guy.
Anything cute related, she's like, she'll make squealy little noises and get all excited.
Oh, she's pre-ordered 10 copies.
She reaches a level only dogs can hear when she squeezes.
Tell me about Heimrich. Not Heimlich Manoeuvre, very different.
The Heimrich Manoeuvre.
Heimrich.
So this has it's a side-scroller with a kind of like illustrated art style, very particular art style. Like there's not many out there. It remind me, you mentioned before, Luke, Scribblenauts. It kind of reminded me of like a sepia tone Scribblenauts a little bit in its art style. But it's, you have text along the bottom of the map, and you have to kind of get through by triggering words by stepping on them, because you play a scribe and you're filled in a town of like warriors and wizards and sorcerers, so you have to use the power of word to solve the puzzles. It looked like a bit of fun. Yeah. It's a different take on it.
It looks like a really interesting mix of kind of narrative and gameplay where like they'll have this voiceover and this narration going, and it'll have the words like scrolling along the bottom. But some of those words are actually super important to the gameplay that's happening. Because as Cameron said, you can trigger them and all of a sudden stuff starts. And
I'm looking at it now. It's not just random words. It's like a story.
No, yeah.
So you'll find the word key in like a sentence, and then you can use that word to get an actual key to unlock a door.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're telling a story while running along it, and you activate the story to help you in the real world. Yeah. It's an interesting take.
I'm intrigued. It looks different. I mean, we don't see many new concepts in video games nowadays, and this one is something I haven't really seen before. Hmm. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks like,
Heimrich.
The Heimrich Manoeuvre. It's where you use a word to defeat your enemies.
Haimrich, if you want to Google that one. That one's coming out in a couple of days. And that's all that's coming out this week. Pretty short week, like we said, but there's a reason for that. It's been E3. Everyone's just like sleeping now. Every game developer and publisher is just like, nah.
Yeah, not doing anything. Their fill.
It's all over.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.